welcome to the George Massey Show. Sorry, I'm a little late. Apologies. Dee Dee will be here in a second. Unfortunately, Kara is under the weather tonight. She won't be able to join us. We will miss her, but she will be back. We're hoping by tomorrow night she'll be back so we can get into this MILF Manor and Love in Paradise with Dee Dee and Kara, my dream team together. We're going to jump into this episode tonight. Let me pull up my notes. Some things happened. Hey, Tina. Hey, Loves to Giggle. Hey, Portuguese Princess. Hey, Billy. Hello, everyone. Oh, my co-host. Everyone. So we're going to jump into this episode because there's a lot that took place. I know a lot of people feel like this was a really boring episode. It kind of was. Hello, Gonza. How are you?
Hi.
Hey.
I am a lot better.
You sound so much better. Oh my God, you sound amazing. I'm so glad to hear your voice again. Your voice was gone.
Yeah, I was struggling last week, but I'm a lot better now, so.
Yeah, you sound great. You look better. You look totally fine. Like, you look like rejuvenated. I'm so happy to see you in this form. You're back in your normal form tonight, so I'm really happy for that.
Well, thank you.
So I want to talk about, okay, so the episode 8 of this Happily Ever After. So I want to talk about Jose a little bit because we kind of talked about, hey, Judy, hey, Diva Speaks. We kind of talked about last week how, what's his name? Patrick's dad, Jose, showed up empty-handed for Alessi. This was their first time meeting Alessi. And then we watch Jose tonight, who is Thais's dad, show up empty-handed when they were meeting Alessi. And I don't know. I think that I was raised in the South, right? Like, I'm from Louisiana, and I feel like when you're going to meet, especially your grandchild, but, like, someone in your family has a child, you don't always show up empty-handed. So I was really confused at why they showed up to this meeting to meet Alessi, and nobody brought her, like, a teddy bear, a blanket, a pacifier, a diaper bag. Like, I don't know, like, when people in my family have a baby and we show up to meet the baby, or like we didn't get to go to the hospital because maybe they lived out of state, we bring something, right? Like, am I wrong? Am I the only one that thinks that they should have brought something for this little girl?
No, I mean, that really caught me off guard too, because in the Hispanic culture, like, they take gifts no matter what the occasion is, especially if they're meeting like a new baby or like something very important like that. I mean, that just really threw me off. It's like he was almost going for, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, what is that word that I'm trying to say? Like, he's wanting to go after, like, Patrick. He only seen Patrick. It's like Thais and the baby wasn't even in his mind at the moment. It's like he wanted, like, to go after him.
Yeah, like a tunnel vision. Like, he was there to tell Patrick how hurt he was by that. Okay, so let's get into this situation with Carlos, because he used this word, and I didn't like the word that he used. He said, how do you think I felt when you came and kidnapped my daughter and took her back to the U.S.? Now, first of all, it's not how the word works, because trust me, you can't go into Brazil and take a beautiful woman against her will and kidnap her. Like, there are laws, there are people at the border, there are so many different people who would have stopped that situation, and I feel like he might have felt that way. You know, like, your emotions can make you feel a certain way, you know, and maybe in his mind, he was like, that's the way that it felt. But at the end of the day, she was 25 years old, able to make her own decisions, and she decided to leave on a K-1 visa and not tell him. And I think my biggest issue is, well, he did show a little bit of responsibility for Thais tonight, because he was like, I think both of you should apologize. But at first, he was putting it all on Patrick, and Patrick was like, well, you have to understand that I'm the one that was the one that reached out to you when I found out that you didn't know, you know, and I was the one that wanted to get, not necessarily the blessing, but just to make you aware before we walked down the aisle, because even Patrick thought it would be really disrespectful to walk down the aisle and marry this man's daughter and he not know until after the fact. And I feel like for some reason, he puts too much responsibility on Patrick, because Thais keeps saying, like, oh, my dad is the most important person in my life. You know, I'm a daddy's girl and all this stuff. And I was like, that doesn't amount to you, what you did, you know, doing what you did. Like, I feel like, in my opinion, if that were true, he would have known what was going on, because he mentioned Patrick had been to Brazil 2 or 3 times and never brought up to him, hey, I'm thinking of marrying your daughter. And I think that Thais had a lot to do with that. Thais was the main reason why Patrick never had these conversations, right? Like, she was the one telling him, well, don't say anything, I'll handle it. That
was her. Always the one saying not to say anything. She didn't want Patrick to say anything to her dad at all. I'm surprised Patrick didn't say that tonight. I mean, I know he doesn't want to throw Thais under the bus, but I mean, at the end of the day, she never wanted him to say anything. I mean, not even whenever they were in over there. And then she told her dad that she was coming over here to work. Not once did she say that, vacation. Not once did she say that she was engaged. Not once did she say that she was even in a relationship with Patrick. And not once did she say that they were even going to get married. And then whenever Patrick found out that she still was not being honest with her dad, that's when he said, I want to talk to your dad. But she was up against it up until the day before they got married.
Yeah.
So it's all on Thais.
I would have threw her under the bus, right? Like, I'm sorry, I would have threw her under the bus, because I feel like he's been taking the brunt of responsibility for this, and it's not fair. And I feel like Patrick, of all men, has good intentions. You know, there are men out there who have bad intentions, who do want to where you separate them from friends and family, isolate. Like, there are men who want to isolate. Like, remember we were watching Elizabeth and Andre, and it seemed like his main goal was to isolate Libby from her sisters. You know, he wanted to make sure that she wasn't around people that could influence her. And that's not what Patrick is doing at all. Like, Patrick is, he has really good intentions. And I feel like if he would give him an opportunity to get to know him, you know, and accept him, he would really like him. But I feel like, I think Portuguese Princess said it's a vendetta. He has a vendetta against him. It's like he has his mindset that this is the enemy and I declare war on this person. And I feel like it's really sad because they're married, several years married, and they have a baby, and they're trying to share their happiness with their family, which is something that everybody has the right to do, right? You have the right to bring your family to your mom or dad or cousin, sister, brother, and share your happiness with them. And unfortunately, they're not allowed to do that. Like, and it's sad because on both sides of the spectrum, because Patrick's dad, he's not excited to meet Alessi. He's not excited about the new addition to the family. He's excited that he's got some free labor. You know, he's got some people to do things for him. And I feel like Jose, on the other side, he's not excited for anything either. And they don't have anybody to share their happiness with. And it's very unfortunate because they're in a good situation. She found a good guy. He found the woman that he loves. They have a baby, and nobody is happy for them. And it's really sad.
Yeah. I mean, and actually, I mean, out of all the couples that, like the OG couples that come to mind, he is the only one that is really, honestly, truly trying to give Thais everything. Like, he really loves her. He really, I mean, he wants her to have anything and everything she wants. Gives her a good life. Give Alicia a good life. I mean, he's never, that I can remember, he hasn't, like, flat out, I mean, he hasn't been, like, 100% truthful, but he hasn't been, like, he's never lied to her about, hey, I'm gonna give you this lifestyle, get you over here, and then it be like, okay, I lied to you just to get you over here. He's been honest about it.
And as far as we know, he's never cheated, right? And that's a big deal.
As far as we know,
it's a lot of these men, right? Like, they cheat all the time. Okay, so one more thing. What's up with Brazilian birthday cake? Is it really good? Have you had it? I'm confused because they said it's really
good.
And now I'm gonna be like Googling where to find it because I wanna know how good it is. Because, you know, I love cake, but is there a better cake that I didn't know about? Now,
oh my God, you've got to try where we get our cakes from. It's called the Tres Leches. It's like, has three different meals. It's a cake from Mexico. Oh my gosh, it is amazing.
So have I?
It's so good. Doing
cake wrong? Have I been eating American cake and it's wrong? Is there better cake? And I didn't know. Also. So Thais wanted to drive. I don't want to sound sexist, but the first time I ever found out what those handles were above the window, you know when you're in a car and there's like those handles that you hold onto? The first time I ever grabbed onto those and held onto it for dear life, I was in the car with a woman. Now, I don't want to sound sexist, but I was like so scared based on the way that she was driving the car. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad that these handles are here. And I never knew for the life of me growing up why they would put a handle there. I couldn't figure it out. So when Thais was trying to get out of the garage, it brought me back to that moment in my life where I was like, this is, and I looked up and Patrick was holding on to the handle. And I was like, oh my God, bro, I feel you. I understand. When I was, I remember we were going so fast and we were swerving through, and I was like, oh my God, I might pass away in this car. And I was literally holding on for dear life. So I don't want to sound sexist, but do you think that those handles were put into cars because women drive? Do you think that? Because I kind of feel like that's true.
I think both men and women. So I mean,
well, yeah, you know, men are known to hit things that aren't even moving. You know, like let's be very, very honest. Like men are known to hit trees and telephone poles and things that aren't even moving. Other cars that are parked. You know, so I don't want to sound sexist or anything, but I do remember the first time I tasted fear in a vehicle. I was in a car with a woman, and I was just like, oh my God, I just want to get out and kiss the ground. Like, I'm so scared. So when she couldn't get out of the garage, I was just like, that is actually hilarious. Because remember last week, Patrick was driving and she was yelling from the back seat that he couldn't drive, and he was like running stop signs and stuff. Hey, Kim. Hey, bestie. And I was like, it's funny to see the full circle, because I was like, she is also, you know, has her shortcomings with driving. And I was like, that was a tight garage though. But you know, I'm one of those people that can bag into any park. Right? Like, I'm one of those annoying people. Like, I can get into any park no matter how. Oh, yeah, everybody, don't forget, Kim and Jamal are back on Pillow Talk tonight. Please, 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 after Milk Manor goes off, go and watch Pillow Talk and support my bestie and Jamal, because they're back after, oh my gosh, two or three months of being off. So please, everybody, go and support that. But yeah, I think that that garage scene was just hilarious to me. We need to move on, because I want to talk about Nicole and Mahmood, because Nicole once again kicked Mahmood out of the apartment. And then after she went and tracked him down in the car, the first thing she said to him was, oh, Mahmood, why did you run away? You know, like, why do you keep leaving? And I was like, well, he keeps leaving because you haven't given him the opportunity to unpack his luggage, because you continually kick him out of the house, right? Like, you literally, before he can even unpack anything, you kick him out again. And then she goes and picks him up, and almost like somebody said on Twitter, Captain Luke Picard, the Twitter account, said she's literally manhandling like it was an arrest. She grabbed him by the back of his coat and was throwing him into the car like it was a cop car. And I was like, at this point, I would use the word kidnap, right? Like, I didn't like the way that Carlos used it tonight, but I was like, I don't know. I kind of feel like Nicole's kidnapping him. All this man wants to do is get on the first airplane going back to Egypt. And for some reason, she keeps luring him back to the apartment, and I'm scared for his safety, right? Do you feel like that? Like, I want him to be free. I feel like he hasn't been free since he got here.
Exactly. I mean, I know that we do not condone any kind of abuse, no matter man or woman, no matter what you are or who you are. We don't condone it. But now that I've been watching their scenes, I'm actually glad that TLC put it on, because we're actually able to see the real side of Nicole. Because whenever she was in his country, we seen how she was acting innocent, like she, you know, was really trying. Well, in reality, she's a toxic person. She's very, very toxic.
It is.
And yeah, Mahmood does need to get away from her, like, really fast. Like, he needs to run.
I fear for this man's safety. Every moment that he is in the presence of Nicole, I am scared for his safety. I don't know what could happen. She got him sleeping on the floor. She's driving around New LA, literally arresting him. She grabbed him by the jacket. Here, let me see. Can you see this? You see this picture? Look where her hand is. She's arresting him. She has her hand on his back, and she's luring him into the car. All this man wants to do is get away from her, and that's all that I want.
I'm almost willing. Remember I said this, well, not probably about 2 weeks ago, because past two times we've been on, I didn't have my voice, but you remember I was telling you guys that I think that because he finally decided to leave her for good, that's when she started hollering domestic violence. and because she could no longer control him. Now I'm wondering if he even really did anything like that. I'm thinking she just did that to be able to scare him and control him.
It's really interesting you said that, because at the beginning of the episode, of their scenes, do you notice that she was very open to talking to him and communicating with him? And then when he said, no, I do still want a divorce, she went from 0 to 100. She's like, well, get out of my house. She like literally went into a fit of rage. Like before he made it clear that that's still what he wanted, she was talking like she had some calm left in her. And then when he said, and she was like, well, you keep saying you want a divorce. And he's like, no, I still want a divorce. She went from 0 to 100. And she's like, get out of my house, get out. She flipped out. Now I'm beginning to wonder if you're right. You know, like I don't see Mahmood as a violent person, right? Like if he wanted to get violent, he had a lot of opportunities when her friends were holding him against his will and dragging him back in the apartment when he tried to leave, when she was dragging him into the car tonight. There was a lot of times where he could have gotten aggressive, and I didn't see it. He keeps his calm very well. So the idea that he possibly did get violent after he decided he was ready to leave and she continues to lure him back to that apartment and hold him hostage. I said it. She's holding him hostage. This man wants to leave and she won't let him. I don't know what really happened. And I'm beginning to wonder if that's why TLC is airing this, because what we think happened or what was reported to have happened might not have actually happened. You know, like I see this man as he has a temper. Don't get me wrong. He does like to fight. I don't see an aggressive side to him. I don't see a violent streak in him. Now, Nicole, on the other hand, do you remember we were watching the scene with her friend? He was doing the confessional and she was throwing things and slamming doors and she's cussing and screaming. I see the violent streak in her, right? Like there was a sliding door in her little tiny closet apartment that she's like slamming back and forth. She's tossing stuff. She's throwing his things around the apartment. Like, I don't know. I think you might be onto something. I think that she painted a picture of him that might not be true. And when they were airing these episodes and we're seeing her in the way that she's acting, I think maybe Mahmood's a little more innocent than we gave him credit, right? Because I feel like I've given them both a lot of shit. I don't like either one of them as a couple. Like individually, they might be decent human beings. I don't know that. But as a couple, I don't like them together. And I think that them together is not a good situation for them or anybody else involved. I feel like it's just gonna explode. But I think that we're giving Nicole more credit than she deserves and Mahmood less credit than he deserves. I think we both were reading them in an incorrect way.
Yeah, I mean, I know TLC only shows, you know, shows us what they want to show us. But I think now after watching it, you know, the scenes, I think that's the reason why they actually put them on, so we could see that Nicole is not the innocent person that she claimed to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I know that there's, you know, there's two sides to each story. But as of right now, what we're seeing, there's actually only one side, because it's Nicole keeps attacking Mahmood, and the only thing Mahmood is trying to do is get away from her.
Mm-hmm. That's all he wants. Like, literally, this man has attempted to leave so many times. His luggage, he's never unpacked the luggage, guys. He just keeps the luggage packed and ready to go. That's in any moment that he can escape. Because I'm calling his name. Like, I feel like he's been held against any moment that he can escape. Hey, Michael, any moment that he can escape, I think that he's trying to get away. So I wanna jump over and talk about Jasmine and Gino, because we watched them the past couple weeks and we found out that they couldn't afford a lawyer, but now they can afford a trip to Miami, where they are now celebrating Jasmine's birthday, where she was one with the alligators, which is interesting to me because I don't like alligators. Not that they've ever been aggressive towards me or anything. I've never encountered one in real life. Honestly, the whole time I've lived in Florida, I haven't seen a live one that I know of. There is one over by the dollar store in my subdivision. He doesn't bother anybody, but he does come out of the water and sunbathe over by the dollar store, and everybody takes pictures of him. But I think he's pretty humanized, like, because when people come by, he doesn't like try to attack anybody. He just looks at you like, what do you want? But Jasmine is really, really like interested in the alligators in Florida, which was weird to me. And Gino was like, I don't know why. And she's like, oh, they're friendly. And even the guy at the alligator at the swamp was like, I use a lot of words to describe alligators, but friendly's not one of the words. Like, they're not friendly. Like, I mean, it's very possible. Like, there's some alligators over in the reserve, not too far from where I live, where people say, you know, where you go and walk the trail, and they'll literally be on the trail, and you just walk past them, and they just look at you. They don't care. You know, they're not aggressive if you don't bother them, but I wouldn't call them friendly, right? Like, I feel like you poke the bear, you poke the gator, and the gator is going to eat you. You know, we've seen many, many instances where people were poking them or bothering them or didn't know how to get the picture from a far enough distance, and now they're alligator food. You know, like, they're alligator food now. But I think that it's interesting what we saw tonight, because Jasmine told us on that one tell-all that, you know, she needs sex 50 times a day. And now we found out on this episode that she's literally avoiding sex because Gino went out of his way to seduce her with his toes. And she, even though said she was very turned on, I was very turned off. She was very turned on that she's avoiding him because she's afraid of getting pregnant. She knows that Gino wants to get her pregnant and she can't focus on having a child right now because she feels bad about not being able to bring her kids over. But I don't think that that's the real issue, because I feel like if they wanted to bring her kids over, they wouldn't have went to Miami and spent all that money, right? Like, I feel like there's storylines getting mixed together here. I think, for instance, them being in Miami is more about whatever she's talking about doing a beauty pageant. I think that's why they're there, and they're mixing a lot of stuff in. So she said that she's depressed. Okay, so I'm not a girl, but I think beauty pageants are the worst possible thing that you could do if you're depressed. Because at the end of the night, one girl gets a crown and then like 100 girls don't. So like, if you're trying to work on your self-esteem and your depression, how is competing in a pageant going to help you feel better about yourself? Because say there's 100 girls that compete, 99 of them don't get to win, right? So how is that a uplifting experience? You know, like, I'm not knocking pageants. I think beauty pageants, you know, they have a lot to offer. A lot of women say a lot of good things about it, right? But I think in the depression area, I think that it's not a good idea to put yourself out there to be judged by people, you know, because that's all a pageant is. You go out there and you tell people, hey, I'm standing here, judge me harshly, right? It's not going to make you feel any better about yourself.
I don't know. I don't even know what to say about Jasmine. I mean, I don't know. Jasmine's just Jasmine. I mean, she knows how to cry. She knows how to get her way with Gino. I mean, she's always, you know, saying that she's sad because she doesn't have her kids, that she wants to be in Panama. I mean, we hear that she's ready to go back to Panama the whole time they're on TV. That's all we hear. And then she don't go anywhere. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's hard to keep up with her because last week her mom was sick. And she was talking about her kids. This week, it was less talk about the kids, more talk about depression and pageants. It's hard to keep up. Like, there's a lot. Every week, there's something different. Oh, wow. Judy says, Jasmine is gator bait. Judy, that's not very nice. But if she keeps getting too close, she might actually be gator bait, though. You're not wrong. Gino should just go back to the strip club. No. That's not going to help the depression that she's going through. I mean, I get that depression is real. You know, I feel like with her leaving everything that she had, her hometown, her kids, her family, her mom, especially with her mom being sick, I don't want to discredit that she probably is depressed. You know, leaving everything that you know behind, you are going to feel a little depressed. You are going to feel a little sad. You can plan for everything except for your feelings. And I think once she got here, she thought that this is what she really wanted, and her feelings kicked in. And I think she really probably does feel sad. You know, I think that alopecia outbreak is definitely something that's not going to make her feel good about herself, you know, in her own skin. You know, a lot of women suffer from alopecia, men too. A lot of people suffer from alopecia, and it's stress related. The more stress you have, the more it causes your hair to fall out. And I think that is definitely something that's going to get to her, because we know she had the hardest time even cutting her hair. Like, her hair is a huge part of who she is. So I can't imagine how she might feel with it falling out of her head. You know, like, I totally feel like depression is very real, and I'm not going to I'll downplay a lot of stuff with Jasmine. Like, a lot of times when she's crying, it's not for real. But I'm not going to downplay that depression comment, because I think that it's very real and what she's going through. She should do things and talk to people to uplift her mood.
Well, I think, too, that is because Gino had her so spoiled when she was in Panama, living the high life. Now that she's over here, he's like, okay, you in my territory. I don't have to wait on you hand and foot and keep you happy the way I did when you were in Panama. Because have you noticed that since she's been in the United States, she doesn't do her nails anymore. She doesn't do her hair anymore. There's a lot of things that she doesn't do anymore. Yeah. Like, when she was in Panama, she had $3,000, what do you call them things? Yeah, hair extensions. Her nails was always long and pretty, and she always had her makeup on point. And now it's like she's like, what is the word? She just let herself go or something. I don't know. She's not the same Jasmine.
That's true. She's not as, what's the word? Flamboyantly with her looks. That's probably not the best word, but she was always made up and she always looked a certain way. And you're right. Now that she's in Michigan and she's in the U.S., she's definitely on camera looking a little rougher than usual, you know? And I think that might have to do with the depression. Sometimes when you're depressed, doing your hair and making yourself presentable is a lot of work, you know, because you just don't feel it inside. So I don't know. I hope she's good. I'm depressed. I take care of someone 24/7 with no breaks. Oh my gosh. I can only imagine. Taking care of yourself alone can be a lot. So yeah, Saf Bunny is taking care of somebody 24/7 with no breaks. That's a lot. You know, even nurses get days off. So that's definitely a lot. Oh, I want to talk about Lauren and Alexi real quick, because she's going into her surgery. And it was ironic for me because her mom and all of her friends and her husband all tried to tell her how difficult that this was going to be for her. And she kept, you know, saying, oh, it's what I want. It's what I want. And when it was actually time to go under the knife and do it, I think that the emotion set in and she realized, hey, this is serious. It's a 5-hour surgery, which is a long surgery. And then she's leaving her 3 babies and her husband, you know, alone. And I think what really bothered me the most was how Alexi was so unhappy with the situation. And he was trying to be supportive, but you could see that there's nothing more than that he wanted for her to not go through with it. And I think that's what's really hard, because when you're married, every decision you make affects everyone. So many different people, right? Like, she's got 3 kids, she's got a husband, she's got a mom, she got dad, she has all these people that are being affected by this decision. And I think that she didn't realize, you know, the emotional stress that she's putting on everybody involved. Like, look at her babies. Her babies kind of looked worried. Didn't they? Like, they looked a little worried, too. I was like, I don't think she realized the amount of emotional stress that she's putting on all these people for her mommy makeover. Now, I don't want to get into, like, whether or not she should do it, why she shouldn't do it. I don't want to get into that, because that is such a personal choice. Like, I feel like that's, like, a pro-life, pro, you know, like, I definitely don't want to get into that. If that's how she feels in her heart, I have no say in that. If she wanted to go under the knife and do that for her to make herself feel better, I have no opinion on that, you know, as a man, first of all, but as a person who doesn't know her personally, I can't speak on that. I just wish that she didn't have to, you know, but unfortunately, how we feel inside and how we look on the outside are 2 different things. And, you know, I worry for the success of it, because another thing that I was going to say, do you think it's bothersome that doctors will do anything you ask them to as long as you have the money? Because I was thinking about this and I was like, well, why wouldn't a doctor say, you know what, I don't feel comfortable doing this surgery on you because I don't feel like you need it. But now you can go to LA or you can go to hell in Florida too. If you have the money, a doctor will do anything to your body as long as you can pay them. And I feel like there should be a moral high ground with people in the medical profession. They're like, hey, you know, like, for instance, they're like Larissa, for instance, the way that she got her boobs, they're too big. And, you know, down the line, it's going to cause medical issues. You know, the bigger women go with their boobs, the more stress and strain on their back. And, you know, I think as a doctor, you should have a moral compass and say, hey, I think going that big for your body size, height and weight is not healthy. But unfortunately, if you have the money the doctor wants, they will put anything in your body or take anything off your body. And I feel like that's what's really scary now, right?
Because the sad part, because the doctors these days, they don't really care about your health anymore like they used to back in the day. Back in the day, they really wanted to take care of you. So it's all you got to do now is wave that green in their face. And, I mean, they're putty in your hands. You know, whether you a man or a woman, I mean, you deserve to feel amazing in your skin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I seen a comment just now, body dysmorphia. I get it, you know, as myself, I've done lost almost 280 pounds naturally, okay? And, you know, I get the body dysmorphia. But I'm not going to go up under no knife neither, because I don't want nobody cutting on me. If I can go to the gym and tighten up in certain areas, which I know she was going to the gym. I know she was trying to do stuff. But Lauren actually looked fantastic. But if that's what she wanted, then I'm all happy for her. But as a mom myself, I wouldn't have did it while my children were as small as her children are. I would have at least waited a little bit longer until they could at least, you know, defend for themselves just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're three under three. Her body hasn't even had time to rest because she had on one right after another, and now she's supposed to put this huge strain on her body on top of that. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
One thing that I worried, and I think Alexi was saying this too tonight, like, what if this is the beginning of a long line of surgery? Because, you know, Darcy and Stacy, you know, like, you get one surgery or two surgeries, or you change one or two things, and it becomes an addiction, and it becomes something that you just want to keep doing over and over. And that's scary too, because a lot of times these women, and again, this is a relative statement, start out extremely beautiful. Darcy, beautiful. Stacy, beautiful. Lauren is a very beautiful woman. A lot of times, but again, my opinion is irrelevant. It's how they feel. But unfortunately, they start with that first surgery, and then it starts with another, and then another, and then another. And then unfortunately, they kind of get lost in the process. And, you know, and we're looking at the pictures of them and we don't recognize them. You know, and I feel like a lot of times they regret the third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth surgery. You know, they felt good after the first couple. That's why they continued. But I think a lot of times they take it too far. And unfortunately, they lose sight of who they want to be and who they are anymore. And I worry about that too, because this is, you know, she's having so many different things done in this one process. I'm scared that she'll 2 years down the line say, oh, I want to get it touched up. Or I want to do this. I want to do this. And then she could get lost in that. And that's going to be really unfortunate.
Exactly. I mean, I'm glad that she got it. I'm glad that Alexi is a really supportive husband. But me being a mom, I would have waited until my children were just a little bit older. Because, I mean, it's hard, you know, to take care of a child, you know, especially even if they're like a couple of years apart. But hers, they're three under three. Like, they're like, they're all three still in diapers. They're all three still in the bottle. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's going to be a lot for Alexi. But if that made her happy, then I'm happy for her. But my opinion, I would have waited till they were a little bit older.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I'm happy for her. And I have heard people say that she feels a lot better. She said online that the surgery really helped her. So, like, again, I'm happy that she's happy. I'm one of those people, I'll support you even if you're doing something bad. You know, like, for instance, I've commented under Darcy or Stacey's comments or photos, and I'll say, you look good. And people are like, don't support them. Don't support that. And I'm like, I support people whether I agree with what they're doing or not, because I want to always be that lifeline for them. If maybe that day they didn't feel like they looked good, I want to be the person that makes you realize, hey, you don't need to do anything else. You're fine just the way you are. And I think a lot of times online, people mistaken support for approval. You know, I don't have to approve what you're doing, but I'm going to support you because you're a human being and you deserve to be supported and loved. You know, I'm going to always have something positive to say. I don't want to be part of the problem. You know, and a lot of times people, they want to be a part of the problem. They see somebody has a problem and then they want to make it worse. I don't ever want to do that. Oh, so I want to talk about health phones, because we were watching a scene with Claire and her mom, or I'm sorry, Sophie and her mom, Claire. And Sophie explained the situation, which was really weird, and we got to see it back on camera. There's a vibrating sound while they were watching TV, and it was neither of their phones. And apparently Rob has a hoe phone. So a hoe phone, guys, is when you are a cheater, but the woman you're with, or man you're with, is smart enough to know you're a cheater, so she or he checks your main phone. So you can't cheat using your main phone, so you have to literally have a second phone in order to facilitate these late night rendezvous with these different people. So Sophie is now in the process of trying to locate the whole phone. So I wanted to ask you, have you ever been in a situation with anyone where, or a friend or someone you're dating that had two phones specifically? Because I'm gonna throw out there, look, I have two phones. I'm not a hoe though, but I do have two phones. So have you ever encountered that situation and it made you raise your eyebrow a little bit?
I have an employee, a guy that works for our company, that he has two phones. But then again, he has a wife in Mexico and he has his mistress over here. So go figure.
It's true. So it's
Yeah.
true. So it's, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a lot to keep up on, but I guess when you do have an intelligent, the woman or man you're with is intelligent enough to check your phone, you have to cover your tracks, right? Now, unfortunately, Rob is not the sharpest tool in the shed. He forgot to silence or turn off his whole phone while his wife was home, and that's kind of how we ended up in this situation in general. Oh, Sophie also decided to tell us tonight that she's a clairvoyant. So we have a witch, so-called witch this season, and now we have
I
a
swear, we got so many freaking witches and clairvoyants
we have
on this show. Come
clairvoyant.
on now.
Now, let's be real here, because Sophie's like, oh yeah, I know what's going on before it happened. So shouldn't she have known before she married Rob that he was gonna cheat on her constantly? Because isn't wouldn't that be a clairvoyant? Like, wouldn't she have known before she got here that this dude was cheating and is never gonna stop? Like, I feel like I don't want to discredit her. I don't know that she is or isn't a clairvoyant, but she didn't bring it up as early as, remember Kimberly from The Other Way? She brought it up pretty early on. She's like, oh, I'm a clairvoyant and I can feel things. And then we got to know her and we kind of don't believe that she's a clairvoyant. Do you think that Sophie is a clairvoyant? Rob thinks she's a paranoid girl. How do you feel?
That girl, she is no clairvoyant. I mean, we ain't seen a true clairvoyant on this show yet. They're clairvoyant wannabes, so
Okay, so the Diva Speak said, was it a phone? It could be a Fitbit or an Apple Watch. Okay, so what happened was when the phone was vibrating, it connected to his smart speaker, Bluetooth speaker, and then we could then hear the answering, like it was an answering machine, like a voicemail. Oh my God, I aged myself. I just said answering machine. Stricken that. I didn't say that. I'm not old. We heard the voicemail and it was his voice, but it wasn't his phone. His phone was in airplane mode. Also, isn't it weird that he was sitting in his house or apartment with his wife and his phone was in airplane mode? Is that a normal thing that people do? I don't do that.
No, that man is still cheating. If you gotta have your stuff on airplane mode, you cheating. I don't care whether you
Yeah,
man,
because
woman, I don't care. You cheating.
if you're not on an airplane, what would be the need for your phone to be on an airplane? That means you just don't want it to ring or go off because the person around you would want to know who you're talking to. That's, I can't think of another reason unless I'm just closed-minded as to why you would need to have your phone on airplane mode. Like, I do use airplane
Because
mode.
you're doing something you ain't supposed to be doing. You
Yeah,
cheating.
that's literally what I'm on.
Simple.
So I think that it's pretty obvious that Rob is always going to be a cheater. I think that he's one of those serial cheaters. He's incapable of committing to one person, and some people call it a sex addiction. Some people call it failure to commit. There's different terms for it, but we all know what it means. He doesn't know how to stop cheating, right? Because he's prom how many times since we've seen him in the last two seasons has he promised to stop cheating on her? Probably 10 or 15 times, right? Like he just is
Probably.
unable to stop cheating. Like some people are unable to stop smoking. Some people are unable to, drug addiction, opioids. They really want to stop. They just are incapable. They don't know how to facilitate the stop of that. And I think that Rob is that person because even in, it looked like they were in therapy coming up next week, and she brought up the online cheating. He's like, of course she's gonna bring up online cheating. I'm like, well, why wouldn't she? Because you haven't stopped. You know, like, I think that it's unfair to bring up something in someone's past if they stopped and they learned from the behavior and they changed from the behavior. It's unfair to revisit that. But if you're gonna continue doing the same thing, that's fair game, right? Like, it's fair game. I think that Sophie probably hasn't been an angel, right? Because we're pretty sure that Sophie and Kay were banging when she was staying with her, right? Like, we're pretty clear on that.
Yes. Right? She was banging her. She was banging her ex before she come over here. I mean, Sophie is not innocent. She just, a woman can get away with cheating on a man easier than a man can get away with cheating on a woman, because a man is always going to tell on himself. A woman never will.
What do you mean?
Just saying.
No, through actions, like through.
Just saying, a woman can cheat on a man and a man will never find out about it. A man can cheat on a woman and he can be cheating within a matter of minutes. A woman's going to be able to tell.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's scary. Because now I'm wondering how many times I've been cheated on and I never figured it out. Now that's a pretty scary thought, because
it's true. I mean, it's true. I'm just telling the truth.
Men are a lot sloppier, and I think we're seeing that really, really well with Rob. He's just the sloppiest cheater ever. Like, some men, I think some men are very good at it, because I've heard stories where a woman says she was married to a guy for 10, 15 years and then found out he had another family. And then they had to get divorced. So I was like, he was much better at hiding it than Rob, right? Because he had a whole family and it took her years to figure it out. I think Rob is just sloppy, you know, and it's interesting to me that he wouldn't be good at something.
If a woman says that, she is in denial, because if you're with a man for 10, 15 years or if a man is with a woman for 10 or 15 years and y'all never knew each other, was cheating on each other, something's wrong. Because first of all, if a man is always traveling, they have their out of town job all the time. They always working late. They're always having to travel out of town. More than likely, they got a whole different life somewhere else. Just saying.
I don't know. Really?
Yes.
There's no such thing as a job that requires a lot of travel.
No.
No?
Come on, George. Come on. Come on now.
I don't know.
George.
Because I know people that,
no,
that work
no,
a lot
no,
out of
no.
town stuff.
Mm-hmm. No.
So they have a woman in every area code? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying in every area code. But if you pay attention to where he or she is traveling to the most, and it's all the time.
Oh, you
see
mean
what
like,
I'm saying? They can travel everywhere, but if it's mostly to one area all the time, and they're always working late, they're always having to stay up late to work late, or at the office, or having to travel all the time, they got somebody else. Hands down.
So Portuguese Princess says women are always thinking and men aren't always thinking. That can be true. Men think about sex more than they think about everything. And I think women are analyzers. Like, you know, there's like a job where you're an analyst. Women analyze situations and they analyze scenarios. And I think that women are much smarter at observation. Like, they can observe behaviors. Like, I always said this, I felt like women are basically therapists by trade, like just by who they are, you know, because they, especially as a mom, you could, like, if a child comes home and there's something going on with the child, like a bully at school, the mom is like, what's going on with you? She can tell. Like, she's observant. And I think you're right. Men are less observant, because how many times will a man say, I think she's mad at me, but I can't figure out why? Because men aren't good at observations. They're not good at reading cues the way that women are. Women can read a cue. Like, if a woman sees her best friend and they walk up to each other, she's like, what's wrong? And the guy and the men in the situation like, she's fine and she's not fine. But the woman has already picked up, based on her energy and how she's acting, that there's an issue. And I think you might be right. I think men are very insensitive to feelings and cues, you know, because I've said it many times, if you want a man to know what's wrong, you just have to tell him. He's probably not going to figure it out on his own, because a lot of women are like, you should know what's wrong. He'll never figure it out. Like, honestly, he'll never figure it out. He will spend hours and hours and hours. By the time he figures it out, you won't be mad at him anymore, because it won't matter anymore. It would take him that long to understand. So I think you might be onto something with that, because Sophie pretending that she doesn't know that he's cheating is, I think, the worst acting that I've seen on the show. Like, when she tries to pretend that she's surprised every time she catches him, that has to be BS, right? There's no way that she doesn't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, I mean, like I've always said, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater. I mean, whether you're a man or a woman, they're not. Once you cheat, you're always going to cheat, because you seek that thrill. That's your adrenaline. That's your adrenaline rush. They may stop or calm down for a little bit whenever they get caught, but as soon as that little door opens up again, they're going to cheat once again. Mm. Just saying.
Oh, wait. Ashley and Manuel are in New York, right? They're in New York, right? Is it
New York? Your favorite witch.
Yeah. Or maybe they're in New Jersey. I don't know. It's hard to keep up.
They're somewhere.
But we saw the scene where she woke up in the hotel and Manuel, like, got up and left. So this opened up a conversation for me, because she feels that it's very important for Manuel to check in with her and communicate with her. So I want to ask you a question. So say you're dating a man, is it pertinent for you that if he's gonna leave the house or leave somewhere where you both are, that he checks in and tells you where he is before he leaves? Is that something that you require, or is that something that you think that someone who doesn't trust someone will require?
No, I mean, whether I'm dating or whether I'm married, I mean, I'm your wife, not your mom. I mean, just be safe, you know. I mean, I would like, at least, like, if I'm asleep, be like, hey, I'm going to step out for a little bit, go have lunch or breakfast or something. You know what I'm saying? Not to just, so you just don't wake up to an empty house or hotel. But, I mean, no, she's overreacting. I mean, well, that man, you're free to do whatever you want to do. I don't care.
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of in between, right? Because he came on a K-1 visa. I guess it's a special situation. Because he came on a K-1 visa, and she's known him for a decade. She's never met his kids. I think the major issue between the two of them, she thinks it's communication. I think it's trust. I think that in the back of her mind, she knows that this man is probably not into her. And I think that she is really insecure about it, because she knows that in the back of her mind, as much as she wants to say she's a witch and she knows that everything is fine, it's not. She knows that he has something that he's hiding from her, and she can't put her finger on it, and I think it's eating her up. Because she's like, he should tell me what's going on. I need a heads up. And I was like, well, if you really trusted him, would it really matter if he went to have breakfast with his cousin or not? You know, but if you don't trust him, that's a huge deal. Because you don't know if it's his cousin, if it's a woman, if it's a wife, if it's, you don't know it. But if you trust somebody, I don't know. I feel like if I trust someone and I know that we're in a strong relationship, they don't have to check in with me. I feel like that type of behavior is what ends relationships. Making somebody feel like you're the warden and you have to tell them what you're doing, when you do it, before you do it. That is why relationships, especially even marriages, don't work out, because people don't want to feel like they're in a relationship with a warden. And I feel like Manuel is no innocent party here. Like, Manuel has clearly got something up his sleeve, and I'm pretty sure I know what it is. But he's not wrong.
We know what it is.
Yeah, right. We know what's going on. But he's not wrong when he says that I'm a grown-up and I shouldn't have to tell you every tiny detail about what I'm doing and where I am. But I think the reason why it bothers Ashley so much is because she knows. As much as she wants to be confident in her relationship and confident in the love that they have, she knows in the back of her mind, every time she doesn't see him, she doesn't have eyes on him, she thinks he could be up to something. And she's not wrong. She's not wrong. And I feel like she put herself in this situation because she married a man that she knew for 10 years, but she knows absolutely nothing about, right? She knows nothing about. She didn't even know that his family was in New Jersey and not New York. 10 years. 10 years of knowing this man, and you don't
never met his children, never met his mom, never met anybody in his family. I mean, they live what, a couple of hours from his family, and I mean, he didn't even want her to go on the trip with him. And then she said it tonight. He's mad because he wanted to go on the trip by himself and she wouldn't let him. Well, I mean, yeah, he wants to go on the trip by himself because he wants to go see his true wife.
Exactly. He wants a life completely separate from hers.
Yeah. And it's, he just so wants obvious. A green card. That's
yes,
it.
It's like, at this point, he's not even pretending. that he's in love with Ashley or he wants this to work out. At this point, he's just like, could you just not come? You know, because he's like, because did you notice when he was leaving the hotel, he was like, give me dinero, give me money so I can leave you. Like, that's what he just kept saying, give me money, give me money, give me money. And I'm like, Ashley, you got to see this. You say you're a witch. You know, you say you're clairvoyant. You say you can read people. Please pay attention. This man isn't even hiding it anymore. He's basically saying, leave me alone and let me live my life. And give me money so I can do something.
You know what? I'm so tired of hearing her say that she is clairvoyant and she's a witch. She is none of that. Because she would have already known whenever she first met him 20 freaking years ago that all of this was all of this stuff was going to happen. She would have known everything. A true legit clairvoyant and or witch knows everything. You nothing is not going to happen without them knowing.
And
she does not even know. I mean, I don't even think she even knows her real name, to be honest with you. She's clueless.
You nailed it. I was like, he probably don't have kids or has more kids than she thinks. He's probably been married more than once. He probably has kids with different women. She don't know anything about this man. And I think that's what caught me. It's crazy for her being a witch. Because I was like, you should have went and looked in your crystal ball and your tarot cards and figured out what you were doing before you did it. That's how I know you're not one. Because you wouldn't be in this situation. You would have known. First of all, if she was a clairvoyant, she would have known something was off before they got married. Before the second time to Ecuador. She would have figured it out and she would have ended it. That's how I know that she's not a clairvoyant.
As soon as she went with him, she seen him face to face, she would have been like, you know what? Nope, this is not even going to work because I'm already seeing in the future. I mean, like I tell you guys all the time, my friend, you know, one of my good friends, she don't even have to be with you face to face. All she's got to do is just pick up the phone and hear your voice and she can tell you everything, your past, your present, and your future.
See, that's crazy. That's kind of scary. But like, honestly, if I was going to be in a situation where I was marrying somebody and bringing them over here, I would want that reassurance, right? Like, I would want somebody to help me decide if I'm making the right decision. Because I think Ashley, she messed up bad. Like, he's already here now. Because, like, at this point, he's not even trying. He doesn't care how it looks. Because he's like, I'm already here and I'm already going to get what I want. So what's the point of even appeasing her at this point? He doesn't even care. You know, he's just like, give me money so I can go hang out with my family and my wife. You know, that's literally how he's handling the situation.
Yep. I mean, that's all he really wanted was just to get the green card to get over here. I mean, he actually said on their wedding day, it was just a 20-year contract. They'd already been together for 10 years. All he needs is another 10 years to be a permanent resident. And then he's a free man. But actually, he really don't even need the 10 years. All he needs to do is just get through the first 2 years, and then he's a free man.
Yeah.
Actually.
He might not know
I mean,
that.
I said, bro, he'll tell you.
Yeah, he might not know that, but he knows that this is not a lifetime thing, and he's very aware. And the only person who's not aware is Ashley. So, Ashley, pay attention. We're here. We need you to come and join us in reality. Okay, so we're going to wrap up tonight. So this was episode 8. Again, there was absolutely no previews of Angela and Michael, which is very confusing because I was told they were going to be on. So I'm beginning to think they're not going to be on because we're about to be in the home stretch of the 10th episode. Next week is episode 9, then we're going to be at episode 10. There's usually only between 10 and 18 episodes, right? So if they're not going to be on, they're not going to be on. And everybody keeps saying they are. I'm beginning to question who I believe anymore. You know, at this point, like, we're going to be 10 episodes in and we haven't seen them. They're not even in the preview for next week. So it's making me believe that they were edited out of the season.
Unless we're going to have to watch like 1,000 episodes like we did last season. So,
yeah. That last season was over 20 episodes, 22, 23 episodes. I don't want
it. It was very long.
I don't want that. But also, we haven't seen Bilal and Shida as well. And they are definitely featured on this season of Happily Ever After. So it's very possible Angela and Michael could pop up right around the time Angela or Bilal and Shida do, because we do know that Nicole and Mahmoud are going to stop filming and they're going to be gone. And we do know that Ed and Liz are going to be gone because they're going to stop
filming. Thank goodness.
So maybe they're gonna replace those two couples with these two couples. I don't know. I'm sick of trying to figure it out. I'm just waiting to see if they're on or not. But we're gonna come back tomorrow. Fingers crossed. Kara's gonna be feeling better. We missed her tonight. Because we have to talk Love in Paradise tomorrow and MILF Manor. I haven't watched MILF Manor yet. I'm gonna run and watch that after I watch Kim and Jamal on Pillow Talk tonight. Guys, make sure if you didn't watch Pillow Talk yet, it's actually gonna come on in a couple minutes. Kim and Jamal are back after a couple months of being off because he was on The Single Life. And then MILF Manor was on tonight. Catch up on that so we can discuss it. The dads have arrived with their sons. So we're gonna see how that goes. And then tomorrow, Love in Paradise. We'll be back, so we can figure out what's going on with Kyle and this saga of all the drama going on with Kyle Gordy and all these different women, you know? And then we're going to also check in with Sean and Aaliyah. I can't wait for that. I'm actually really excited for this season. Thank you guys for joining tonight. Thank you for joining me tonight, Didi. Again, you look amazing. I'm so glad you're
Thank you.
I'm hoping, again, fingers crossed, Kara's feeling better tomorrow night, too. We missed her a lot. Thank you guys so much for staying up late with us, and thanks for listening. Make sure you're following my co-host, Didi. She's tagged in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. Oh, and tomorrow on TikTok and Instagram, there'll be some more Medium sessions with Juliana Fisher. If you guys were looking for that, we recorded some today. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you all very soon.
Bye. Bye.